Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.
Alrighty, folks, I am Joe Snedeker, but my fake name is Mr. Curiosity. Julie's laughing. That's our special guest today. Now, here's the deal.
Are you really all that curious?
Well, that's funny. It's almost like you just threw me the ball and I slam dunked it. Here's the thing. I have friends, family members who tell me I'm so annoying because all I do is ask questions.
That's what we do in this business.
I know, but this whole thing of me doing this came out of it's natural. I want to know all these things about people. And I've been working with you for decades, but I can't like sit you down and be like, tell me about everything.
Tell me about your life.
Yeah. So now it comes natural. But we have the great Julie Sedoni here.
Hi.
So I'm going to start by saying, and I'm going to reveal my ignorance and my lack of paying attention to my colleagues. You started here in 2004.
Nope.
Three.
Nope.
Two?
Yes.
What? I'm not that far off.
Haven't you seen that promo? My first day was 02, 02, 02.
I don't pay attention to things. I have ADD.
Groundhog Day.
All right. So it's been almost 20 years.
Yeah, 18 years, yeah.
That's freaking me out.
It's freaking me out. That feels like a long time.
I know. Soon you're going to be going gray like me.
Oh, I'm already going gray.
Oh. We'll get to that later. I saw that as one of the questions
here.
I have
a good stylist.
All right. So I know this about you only because of the promos. Something about John Myers.
Aren't you tired of that already?
No. Well, I need to know. So you're born in St. Mary's.
No,
Western.
No. I was not born in St. Mary's.
Oh, back up.
Back it up, sir.
Now, I've had females in here before, and I hate to sound sexist, but they don't want to say their age ever. Do you want to give us the year of your birth?
Oh, hell yeah. I don't mind.
Remember the bell.
I don't mind. I was born in 1978. That makes me just about 42. My birthday's in March.
My goodness.
So, 41.
Is this girl sassy or what?
Did I do math right? Yes.
I think
41.
So. I can't believe this.
Yeah.
Because my mom, who was a great human being, the coolest around, she didn't want to tell anyone her age. And when I would ask females, she would say, you don't ask that to a woman. And I'd be like, why, mom? Come on.
Like the rest of my life isn't already on display.
I
what
know,
does it matter
but
if
some
you know
ladies,
my age?
Well, we had our colleague and your friend here, Carrie, and she didn't want to tell me your age.
A little tight-lipped on that. I know. I know how old Carrie is.
Whoa. Tell us. All right. So you're born where? Let's hear the beginning of Julie Sedoni.
I was born in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
What?
On an army base. My dad was an aide to a general. He's West Point grad, and he was stationed at Fort Leavenworth. He was...
Folks, do you see why this is necessary? I worked
never knew
with
that,
a girl
huh?
for almost 20 years, mm-hmm. and I never even knew any of this.
Yeah, I was an army brat for the first couple years of my life.
But wait, describe this guy, your dad.
Is my he like, dad is I... incredible. He's the one you should be talking to right now. He's just incredibly intelligent. He's the best guy I know.
What?
Yeah.
I can only hope my daughter says that someday.
He's the best guy I know.
So is he still like a retired military guy, or what does he know?
Well, no, he didn't want to make military his career, which is why we ended up not staying in Kansas or going overseas. He left. He put in, you know, you graduate from West Point, you have to put in your years, and he did so. And then he and my mom, who were high school sweethearts.
From where?
Back in St. Mary's.
Oh, so those two are both from St. Mary's.
My dad's from Ridgeway, technically, but if you know Western Pennsylvania, that's 10 minutes away.
Yes, so. I biked through it on the Gojo.
Yeah, so they're from the same area. They went to high school together.
Is that right?
And after my dad completed his term, then they came back to Pennsylvania.
So they're little high school sweethearts.
Yes, yeah, still together.
That are they like now like that corny... They're old married couple, or are they the cranky old married couple?
No, they're adorable.
They're adorable.
I had no idea that not everybody had that as a parental experience.
Oh, you just thought everyone, there it is.
Right.
It's wedding bliss.
Right.
Marriage.
Yeah,
look at these two.
They're partners, they're friends, they're adorable. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
They date in high school. Your dad is a military guy, West Point. And how did he end up again in Kansas, did you say? That was
he
just
stationed there. He was
stationed there.
He was originally sent to Oklahoma, Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And then they were sent to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. That's when I was born.
So does he say, this is it. We got to go to Kansas. There's no way. I can't fight this.
As
You're
far
coming
as I know.
With me.
Right. As far as I know. Yeah. They were married and that's where he was stationed.
And does your mom have a career at the time or what is she doing?
No.
She's just a mom.
Yeah.
How dare I say just a mom? She's
yeah.
a mom.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And there they are.
Yeah.
And here comes Julie.
And here I am.
Brothers, sisters?
I have two brothers. They're younger, but not by much. Chris is a financial planner. He lives with his family in Pittsburgh.
They're younger.
Not by much, though. He is, gosh, he was born in, well, I'm not going to give him a, well, why not? Let's see. No, that's math. Don't make me do math on the fly. Yeah, he's probably almost 40.
Okay.
And then my brother Jeff is an engineer. He lives in the Syracuse area, and he is 37.
Really?
I am the dummy of my family far. Oh, yes,
stop
I am.
Stop it. How could you say it? You're wonderful. You're smart. You have your MS.
Listen,
you have
what?
MS, master's degree.
MFA?
Yeah, but it's his master's degree, right? It's the same thing, correct?
No, I put on lipstick and I read out loud for a living. My brothers and my dad are, I mean, my mom too, they're geniuses.
But wait, so now I'm trying to figure this out. So were you like the older sister who mothers these brothers? Because I have one of those.
No, I think that they kind of left me alone a little bit. They were friends slash very competitive with one another.
Right.
And I think I was just out there. You'd have to ask them, though. I don't know that I mothered them. I probably do now more than I did back then.
They say, I have buddies who say this. Maybe you're going to be offended by this. The bell's right there for you. The coolest women to date and marry are those with older brothers because they know what idiots guys are. But the reverse is true now. So if you have younger brothers and you're dating an older girl, now she's the one that is overly motherly, pamper the kids. Her younger brothers, you know what I mean? She mothered them. She's not used to how guys are, but maybe you are because they were so close.
Yeah, they were not that much younger.
You know what jerks we are, right, guys? Because you saw their activity.
I wouldn't say jerks. I'd go with more idiots than jerks.
Okay.
No.
You know what we do.
And I have two sons now, so I'm watching
this. So you see.
Develop, sure, yeah.
All right, so now you're in Kansas, and what happens next?
I was 4 when we moved. I don't remember Kansas at all.
No memories of Kansas.
No.
Flat nothingness.
So I hear. It's funny. The Chiefs being in the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl this year, my parents tell me I was at Arrowhead Stadium when I was a baby. They used to go quite a bit back then. So
they were
Chiefs fans a long time ago. And I've always wanted to get back to Kansas, go back to the base and see where I began.
And Kansas City is not in Kansas.
Kansas City. Well, isn't a small portion of Kansas City in Kansas? I'd have
to
double check that.
Just saying.
But we're just saying.
We're just saying. All right. So now what happened? You're growing up. So they move right back to St. Mary's, you're saying?
Yes.
So your whole life is basically since kindergarten.
Yes, correct.
St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are moving through high school, elementary school, high mm-hmm. school. Give me a little of that. Are you the nerdy girl? Are you the preppy girl?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. You know, I always remember being busy. I'm too darn busy right now. And that started early. I was always busy. I always had a lot to do. I was in a lot of activities, band.
Oh, yeah?
Theater, singing lessons,
forced
piano
or
lessons.
Was it your interest?
No, my interest.
Yeah.
But I just recall having a lot to do.
So what is it that you said about your dad that we can learn as maybe dad's listening? What makes him such a great guy that you said? What's happening when you're 10, when you're 6, when you're 15, when you're 18? What's this guy doing that's so special?
He instilled in us, I think, a real true sense of responsibility. You know, you sign up for something, you're going to go do that. And I just got the sense from him that you had to be true to your word.
Okay.
And when you made a choice, you know, if I didn't like band halfway through, which didn't happen. But right, that's what I recall, a definite sense of responsibility. And he started his own company when we were very young, so we my brothers and I watched him.
What's this company?
He's an engineer, and he started a company that manufactures and creates temperature sensors. I told you I'm the dummy.
Yeah, but wait. So he's a military guy. So the military paid for his college and he majored in engineering.
Yeah, I mean, let me take you back.
He's like a numbers guy, a math guy.
But let me take you back even further.
My grandparents.
My grandfather just died actually on Christmas Eve, and we were learning a lot of stories about him.
My dad's dad. Oh.
They had 3 sons and told them, there's no money. Like, there's no money to send you to college. And all 3 of them went to college on a full scholarship because they knew early if they were going to get there at all, they had to do it on their own.
So they must be naturally bright. I mean, to put the scores to get the grants and the scholarships.
Uncle Tony on a full ride.
Your father's brother.
Football player at Syracuse.
Uh-huh.
My dad to West Point.
Really?
And his brother Paul, an academic in sports, to Alfred, which is in New York.
So your dad's on this West Point scholarship, and he has to pick a focus of study,
mm-hmm.
and it's engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Sheesh. What does this guy look like? Tall, dark, handsome?
All those. Oh, although he's quite gray now, but...
Does he have like the typical, stereotypical military guy? Like he's tough, he's rigid.
No, I don't think so, no. Rigid perhaps, but not in the way he moves. I mean, rigid possibly in his thinking, but you'd never know that by meeting him.
So I'm trying to think, if you were born in 78, he was probably...
They were young. My parents are young now. They had me young.
So was he like the hippie type back then?
Oh, God, no.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He was the opposite of the hippie type.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So he was not a free-thinking, peace, love, and happiness guy.
No.
See, shit, I figure. That's it. All right, so... this guy is a great guy. He's raising you. You're in St. Mary's. Is this a private school? Is this an uppity golden spoon in your mouth childhood? Yes. See, you won't admit it. Here it is.
No, actually, I wouldn't say that at all. My dad and mom sacrificed a heck of a lot to build that company. There was not money. There was no... Remember...
What are these?
When they were first starting the company, there wasn't much of anything. So we did go... I paused because I went to a Catholic school.
All right.
So yes, that is a private school.
Right.
But I don't even recall ever going on a vacation until I was in high school. We were not...
He's too busy making temperature sensors.
Well, busy building a company.
So what is that all about? I need to know. Like, am I picturing like a pole building where there's five engineers in there with oscilloscopes?
It started in a garage. He and my grandfather...
Really?
In a garage.
Like, what do you mean? Do you know what the details of this are? Of course you do, but maybe you don't care. Like,
no,
what do you mean temperature sensors?
I do care. I just don't know enough about it to explain it to you.
No, but like oven temperature sensors, thermostats, thermocouples in cars, where
all
were they?
Of that. They made parts that went into coffee machines and cars and heat lamps for restaurants and that sort of thing. Anything that required a temperature sensor.
May I ask if this company still exists and what the name was and where it went?
Oh, yeah, sure. It was called Advanced Thermal Products when he first started. it sold in, 2000, I don't know, 7 or 8 or
not
something like that.
Not too long ago.
But then it still exists, but it's called something different. Other people are involved.
So your father's products are still out there somewhere right now, kind of?
Yes.
That's weird.
But the company itself doesn't exist as it used to.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Did he make millions and he's now retired in Key West and he's walking around with slippers on and your mom is in some type of beachfront home and she's sipping tequilas and they're both listening to the Pina Colada song?
Now, given what I just told you about my father, do you think the answer to that question is yes?
I don't know. Well, tell me.
No. Oh, goodness, no.
Something like that.
No, he's still working. You know,
oh, is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're doing well as a teenager, the business, there's a mom who's home.
Yes. That was...
The two brothers,
lucky
elitists.
And wonderful. My elitist brothers.
I'm trying to get something out of you. All right. So then you're in... How did you have John Meyer's mother as a teacher? How did that happen? She was just at that school.
She's an English teacher, and English was always my best subject. I'm terrible in math and science, but I always knew my way around words. And so I was in an AP English class, and she was my teacher. And she, I know how cheesy this sounds, but I've told her this before. She is probably the reason I'm a writer, which is my longest held goal. It's the thing I always wanted to do, is be a writer. I've been writing since I was 8. She's the first person who ever said, I think you're good at this.
Really? And you're in what, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, something
yeah.
like that? All it takes is one person like that.
And that's just it. As a teacher, all she had to do was say, you know what? I think you show some promise in this. And that was all the validation I needed that, oh, yeah, I think I probably could be a writer.
So that's where your focus was as you're going through your schooling. You knew words, stories.
Yes. Always knew. And because, I don't know, I guess I don't know because... I don't know the reason for this, but news was always on in my house. My mother made dinner every night. Very utopian, isn't it? You know, you sit down and dinner.
This is like Mayberry, this life of yours.
But at 6:30, the news went on.
you know, Julie, this is almost like too proper. Was there any breaking of the rules for you? Did you ever go out drinking when you were 17 and get drunk in the woods? Did you ever, you know, she's rubbing her chin. She's looking off into the distance. Did you ever eat the fat off of a pork chop? Did you ever stray? Come on, give me something.
There wasn't much straying on my part until I got to college.
Oh.
So not in high school, no. No.
Oh, so something?
In high school? No.
Yeah. No? Never in a police car?
No, not in high school.
All right. Maybe I'm confessing my sins here.
You're projecting
a little
bit. Yeah,
I know, I am. All right, so John Meyer's a mother. This is a Catholic school. Was he in that same school?
Yes.
He's younger than you. Older. No,
He's
I don't know.
He's 1 year older.
1 year older. Okay. Yeah. I should know these things, but I don't. What's he like in school? Give us a little dirt now before we go on with your life. This Mr. Perfect anchor guy.
How about it?
Yeah, I'm sick of it. There's got to be a dark
so
side
irritating,
to that guy,
isn't
too.
He?
Yeah. There's got to be something.
Annoyingly?
There. Yeah.
There's not. That's the worst part about
I wanna
it.
I
want to
see him lose his cool and throw a shoe.
A shoe,
a laptop at the sheetrock, something.
I want to hear him to swear.
Something.
I know.
This guy.
You're not going to get it from John Meyer.
So he was like
but
that
I say
in
that
high
lovingly.
School. He was just uppity and not uppity, but
no,
proper.
No, yeah, I don't think he was
proper
uppity.
And sweet, I should say.
He was involved. We were in a play together, I think. I remember being in a play with him. I more remember him from lifeguarding. We were lifeguards at the community pool together. And he had that, like the Baywatch floppy hair.
Is that right?
The middle part, flop on the side. Yeah. The red trunks.
Now here's the bell. Get ready.
Uh-huh.
Was there ever an attraction between the two of you back then? Like, ooh.
No.
All right,
there's no bell needed. No.
Why not? You're describing these locks of hair and his swim trunks.
I have looked for a picture of this so that people can, I'm not lying, but no, there really wasn't.
All right, so he wasn't your kind of guy, and who knows what else. So you're in high school, you're an English girl, you're in drama clubs, you're acting.
Yeah.
That's it. No fun.
No, again, I go back to how busy I was. I'm not fun now. What makes you think I was fun back then?
Did you go to any concerts, maybe? It's the 80s now. You're going to see Loverboy. You're going to see Wham.
No, I saw Tiffany once at a state fair. Does that count?
Tiffany, Sean is all I can get from her?
Yeah. Maybe. Sean likes Tiffany, too. He's just not going to admit it.
I'm sure she was at a mall.
I think you're alone now.
Oh, wait. One of those questions is coming up. Don't
say
anything.
Okay, all right.
So then it's college time.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. What happens?
What happens?
Like, how do you decide? Is your dad giving you advice? Is it?
You know, my parents are very logical people and, you know, company builders and life builders. And I think like every other set of parents, they say, well, you have to have something solid. I really did want to be a writer, and I also thought about musical theater briefly.
But they thought, I can imagine your dad thinking, yeah, but are you going to build a life around that?
I also just briefly thought about culinary school. I like to cook, and I thought, what if I went to culinary? I like food.
Yeah.
And he said, what, do you want to run a restaurant?
So he was thinking bigger than
and
that,
I said,
right.
No. He said, well, then you have a hobby. That's not a career. You're right.
That's funny. So
yeah, I chose journalism because I thought it combined all of those things. I knew I had a voice.
Which it does, yeah.
I knew I could write, and I thought, well, this is what I think I should do. My first thought was to be like part of the White House press corps. I thought maybe I'd go to Washington. I was always interested in politics. That has gone away, believe me.
I'm no
longer interested in politics. But at the time, I thought that sounded like the pinnacle of a great reporting job.
I could see that. And maybe a little military influence from the dad still trickling down.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah. But so what does he say to all this, your mom and dad? That's good. Let's do journalism. A lot of opportunities with that.
Well, I think they were a little nervous about what kind of jobs I would find, but they supported me.
So where are you off to?
Went to Duquesne University in Pittsburgh.
Whoa, so a good hour and a half, 2 hours
like
south?
2:15 or so.
2:15.
Yeah.
And that's leaving home? That ain't easy.
Yeah, and I will fully admit, I was really homesick when I first left. I bawled the whole way down.
No.
I bawled as I moved my stuff in.
Get out of here.
My mom's bawling as they're driving away. It didn't take long for that to go away. I found myself, but eventually. But yeah, I didn't. I'm not good with change in general.
So when you at the time, does your dad say stick it out? Does a military guy say you're not going to doubt where you chose? You're sticking this out, even if you hate it for a year or something, or no?
My mom and dad both said, if you are this miserable come Christmas, you finish that first semester. If you're this miserable come Christmas, we'll talk about the next options.
Oh,
because they knew I wasn't going to be, and I wasn't.
Right. So you did it, and it was good, and you found your major. You love Pittsburgh. You're a Steelers fan. You're having
definitely love Pittsburgh.
You're going to Permane's.
Oh, more than I should have been.
Everything's going good.
At 3 a.m.
So you're in a dorm. What are you doing?
Yeah, in a dorm.
Yeah?
And I lived with two other girls, young women, in a tiny room that was supposed to have been for two, and there were three of us. We were smushed.
Yeah? So I'm picturing this at home now for your mom and dad. They got two boys at home.
Uh-huh.
Older sister's gone. You come home for Christmas, your other brother took over your room?
No, he didn't. No.
Your dad turned it into a weight room?
No.
Gun room?
No.
I don't know.
No.
Your mom turned it into a sewing room? What? I don't know.
No.
Your room was waiting for you there.
Yeah, still there.
All right. So interesting. So 4 years at Duquesne, you loved it?
Loved it. I especially loved that my first 2 years I was part of a pretty elite chorus. And we traveled. My freshman year of college, I'd love to do this trip all over again because I didn't really appreciate it when you're 18.
All right.
We were sent to Europe for 5 weeks, and we paid for a portion of it. The school paid for a portion of it, but because we were representing the school, we were there traveling all through Europe. We stayed in people's homes. We were singing in churches and at concert halls.
So this was your interest. You knew this wasn't going to do anything, or did you? I don't know. Were you thinking, maybe
no.
I'm going to be a...
No. No, but the
nightclub singer.
Have you seen the Fabulous Baker Boys?
Yes.
Come on,
I've seen the commercials.
In the
I haven't seen
the red dress.
Them
come on. Why am I not in some like smoky jazz club at 2 a.m.?
I could see that.
No, so the chamber singers had a lot to do with
I'm
why
picturing
I loved
the
it.
Cartoon girl on Roger Rabbit. That's who I'm picturing. Something like that. I can see you doing that. No.
Jessica Rabbit?
Yeah, is that what it was? Just da, 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 da.
Well, I'm not into burlesque. It's not quite going over that
Listen,
way.
Listen, that's...
I'm not swinging my boa around.
You don't know science. I don't know that stuff. So that's about as much as I know about that stuff.
I picture that one guy in the back, like...
Yes, yes!
That, right? With a cigar in his hand. Maybe, you know, there's time for me, Joe. There's time for me still.
So now you're ready to graduate.
Yeah.
It's your senior year.
Yeah.
You got the journalism degree. You got a 4.0 average.
Close,
yeah, I'm sure.
Close.
And you move back home?
No.
Oh.
I'd been working at WTAE in Pittsburgh part-time.
Oh, so like an internship you're in there.
I had an internship, and then it turned into they hired me as an associate producer. And I worked there for maybe 2 years.
So did you love it at that point?
Loved it.
You loved it. News
loved
was your thing.
It. Loved it.
You're
loved
writing.
It.
You're anchoring? Or
No. I mean, it wasn't on the air. And I remember... As only the young can do, right? You saunter into your news director's office and you say, I want you to hire me, right? I'm in market 20. You know, I'm not even out of college.
Yeah.
And he was very kind. And he said, listen, you show some promise. Go somewhere else for a couple years. Send me a tape. We'll see what we can do 5 years down the line. But you got to go make your mistakes somewhere else.
But I'm not sure what you mean. I thought you loved it there and you were doing a great job.
But I wanted to be on the air.
Oh, I see. So you were saying I want to be on the air.
Yeah,
oh,
yes.
So you did have those.
He says, you want to be a producer? I'll hire you right now.
Oh, I was going to say. Right. Oh, so you told him that. Well, why start as just a reporter or something? Not just, but.
Because.
He didn't even want to do that with
No, all those years ago. And we're talking 20 years ago.
Yeah, but I would think here's this Duquesne University graduate. She's smart. She's attractive. She's a producer. Let's throw her out in the field.
Oh, but I was completely green. I had never been on the air. I'd never, other than radio. I did some NPR work in Pittsburgh, but other than radio, I'd never even been live. Why on earth would they put me on the air?
So do you remember slamming that door, being discouraged?
No, I remember being kind of happy that he even took the time to tell
really?
Me that much.
Yeah. Okay. And then what happens? You think I got to get out there and start reporting, anchoring?
I sent tapes everywhere, and I was hired in Johnstown, WJAC.
So now you're going, it's like a triangle. So you're going...
A Pennsylvania triangle.
Yeah, it's a Pennsylvania, the Julie Cidoni triangle, and now you're going east to Johnstown. And what's that like?
That was an interesting year and a half. And yes, we'll just throw this out there, John Meyer also worked there.
Oh my goodness.
At the time.
At the same time, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you know that? I was like, he mentioned you. You mentioned him. Something. You just happened to open the door one day, and there were the two of you are.
I knew that he was there.
Oh, he knew he was there.
Yeah.
So what's that like? What kind of station?
Is it NBC? And I was the night side reporter. So I was all over that market by myself sometimes. You know, what do you care? You're 22?
Yeah.
You're 21, 22. Living your dream.
Got an apartment.
Got an apartment.
Paying the rent.
Barely.
Making new friends. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And
but everybody's in your same boat.
No, yeah,
nobody's
yeah,
making
yeah.
any money. Everybody's, you know, meeting at the quarter draft place on Thursday night. And that's what you do when you're first in the biz.
So it's like, what, 1999? The millennium is coming? Something
it's,
like
no,
that?
No, I graduated in 2000. So it's 2000.
2000.
Yeah.
And there it is. The new Julie hanging out. Johnstown.
Yep.
Put your time in. I know what's coming up next. WNEP.
Yes.
So how does that happen? How do you go from Johnstown? And did you even know anything about Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, WNEP?
No, I didn't.
Nothing.
I knew nothing about it. I had never been to the area.
Never been to the area.
But, you know, I don't know if it still works this way, but back when I was first in the business, what you did was put together a little reel of your best work and send it everywhere. I would have gone to Idaho.
Oh, you
I'd have gone
have.
To California. I'd have gone anywhere who would have hired me. And as luck would have it, it was WNEP who called. Now, I initially applied for the Williamsport bureau chief job.
That, who was that at the time?
That job went to Norm Jones.
That was Norm Jones's thing.
Yeah, and then and when he was hired, I thought, well, I lost my chance there. But they kept my tape on the side, and the next opening. I believe it was April LaMonica who
Oh,
left.
Yes. Okay.
And Bob Apsher at the time, who was acting news director, called and said, are you still looking for a job?
So he's the guy who grabbed it. Because remember, I started here in 99 full-time. I was part-time before that. So this is all my new fresh beginning, too. That's why I'm trying to relate. So do you think I'll go look, I'll go see? I don't know. I don't want to live in Scranton. Or is there any negativity?
No.
Did you think coal land? I don't know what you thought.
No, none at all. I moved here totally by myself, knowing no one.
But wait, did you get any, all those tapes you sent out? Any other bites or no?
I don't recall. I mean, WNEP called first, so the rest of it was...
And then I imagine you were online that day going, WNEP, what's it like there? Checking everything out. No.
No.
Come on. You got to do your research.
Well, he being Bob, called, and I came up for the interview. Stayed right here at the hotels
Is
next
that
to the
right?
station. And I remember I liked it. I remember I'm from a really tiny town. This is a big area to me when I first
got
here.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah, yeah.
There's malls. There are restaurants. There's parks.
And we always say this. It's one of the few stations that's not in a city. So it's beautiful here. We have this semi-new building, and it's off the highway.
Yeah.
But you look at the mountains behind us, and there's no urban vibe. It's just a nice, clean feel here.
And I like urban vibes when I'm in the mood for urban vibes.
But you didn't want an urban vibe.
I do like it. I appreciate it. And sometimes I really yearn for it. But I think because of where I'm from, you know, the quiet is really nice.
So you took the job.
Took the job.
There she is. It's 2002.
Actually, they might have hired me in 2001, but I started in 2.
And here you are
All
since then.
These years
so do you remember later. Your first impressions, your first 3 days here, people you met, the audience, the building? What comes back from those moments? I need to know.
As I was moving my stuff into my apartment, I had the news on. I was trying to watch it to see a little bit more about it. I should have known. Talkback 16 comes on, and I stop. I think I dropped the remote and turned and looked, and I said, what is this?
Because not too many stations do such a thing.
No, no one does that.
So to get viewer response.
I was shocked. I'm still shocked by Talkback 16.
Meaning what? Like, how dare they?
Oh no!
They
no, no.
Express
no, they're
negativity
allowed.
Or
no, they can express anything they want. I'm surprised we put it on.
Right. Because it's almost like airing the laundry. It's almost like...
Which is the appeal. I get
yes!
it.
Yes!
Yeah, I get it.
It's almost like taking the makeup off.
Like you can't hurt us if we already know what
oh,
we're...
Oh, yeah. Oh, good point. Yeah. I think that is a very... Yeah, show your weakness. Don't take yourself seriously. That's
mm-hmm.
the key.
Yeah.
So you're here, and what was your first job here? I forget. Were you...
I was nightside reporter, but I also filled in quite a bit on the 10. Remember, we did the 10 at the
yes,
time.
Yes, on Fox.
On Fox.
And did you love that? So if I were to go back to 20-something-year-old Julie,
mm-hmm.
did you always yearn, I want to be an anchor person, I don't want to be a reporter?
No, I like both.
You like both?
I like both for very different reasons. And now that I'm anchoring more, I will say that I miss reporting.
Oh. Well, you still do that with the medical stuff in a way.
It's more writing. It's more getting out there. It's more talking to people. Your days go fast.
But you're doing, aren't you doing that once a week with the...
Occasionally. Yeah.
But you want more. You want to be at the scene of a barn fire. You want to smell like smoke.
Honestly, I don't have the energy anymore. I think that's a young person's game, and I don't feel young anymore.
So you're here, you're young, you're beautiful, you're here for those 17, 18 years, you're anchoring, you're moving up, you're doing things, you're having children, there's this, there's that, there's relationships, and then when did you decide, because your new gig is this, your master's program at Wilkes, when did that happen? And why? People are going to say, why? Why did she want to do that? She's got a great job. She's an anchor. Why is she doing this?
Why
MFA?
My son, my older son, Charlie, is 11 now. And
right.
He was about 8. We were having a conversation about passions. He's an athlete. He loves soccer. He loves baseball, basketball. And we were talking about passions, and he said, what's yours? And without skipping a beat, I said, oh, writing. And he said, well, then why don't you do it?
Julie, this moment,
out of
right?
The
this
mouth
is like a scene in a movie. It's like a scene.
I'm not kidding. It was like that light bulb. You're right.
Yeah.
Why am I not doing this? So I went online. I knew I couldn't. You can't just quit your job and go back to school.
All right.
There's mortgage and children and the whole shebang. But I wanted to look up online programs that I could do at night or in the morning at home on my own time. And I looked all over the country, and it turns out one of the best programs is right in my backyard. It was at Wilkes, the creative writing program at Wilkes. It's a low residency, which means you have to be on campus once or twice a year. But for the most part, you're just doing it on your own time from home. So
you have to educate me and the public listening to this, mm-hmm. Because I have my master's degree in science. I don't know really what an MFA is. Is it similar? It's a master's program for the arts, though, right? So how is it? Why does it have its own title like that? What's the difference?
So the master's degree is one thing. And the MFA is one more leap up. There's no PhD in the arts. An MFA is the terminal degree in the field of arts. So I got my master's degree first and then went on one more year to get my MFA, master's in fine arts.
You're just one-upping me. That's all you're doing.
Pretty much.
So
I'm saying I'm better than you are.
Oh, I didn't know that. Why didn't I know that? Is that common knowledge?
Probably not. I'm not sure why people would know.
But they combine that in one? Or no, you had your MS first.
MA.
MA
my
first.
Master's.
Master's of Arts
you
from
can,
Wilkes. So it's like the same
just,
thing?
You can't just get your master's and stop if you want.
Oh, but you took the whole program there.
I did. I went on for the second step.
Do they end at the master's part or no? Do they
you
say,
can.
No, but I mean, is it like a little ceremony?
Yeah, I graduated twice.
Oh, you graduated twice.
I had the cap and gown and walked across the stage twice.
So there's no PhD in that program?
In the field of arts.
I didn't know that. This is all an education for
right.
me. I'm embarrassed of myself.
Oh, you're ringing the bell.
I know. Stop it. I'm embarrassing myself here. So I'm ringing the bell. Julie has not touched the bell yet, just so you know. I can get her to with some of these questions from the people.
I'm sure the people will always get you.
Yeah. So now that you're here and you love anchoring and you're our noon and evening girl, what's Julie Sedoni going to be like in 5 years, 7 years? Is she going to leave us and be a college professor? Is she going to go to Tahiti and start a new life? I don't know why I said that.
I hadn't thought about Tahiti, but maybe. I really don't know. I don't know how to answer your question. I always had a clear picture of what was coming next, and I can't say I have a clear picture as to what's coming next.
But you love WNEP.
Yeah, of course I do. Of course.
And you're happy with your position?
There's a lot of me. I wish there was a little less of me.
Too much you.
There's too much me.
Too much you.
I would love to see some of the newer reporters we have who want to anchor. I'd love to see them. Be able to
and
get
then you
some
pull
more.
Back, maybe a little less of this,
yeah.
maybe a little more of that.
Yeah. I'm not kidding when I say that. I think there's...
Before you know it, you're at the nightclub singing again.
Before you know it, I'm slung across that piano with a martini
dun,
in my
dun,
hand.
Dun, 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 dun. The smoke field. And you have to be smoking one of those cigarettes with a little holder
the
on the end.
Really long one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the smoke is just cascading and swirling upward.
I see satin gloves.
Yes. This is how I can picture you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and now the viewers. Here we go.
Yes,
dun,
sir.
Dun. Get that bell ready.
All right.
Actually, these, a lot of them are compliments. We have Rosemary saying she loves your outfits.
Oh, gosh. Really?
I will say this, and I don't want to sound like a creeper or a weirdo, because my wife used to work here, And I thought you two always were the best dressed here.
Can I tell a story?
Yeah.
About the time that you catcalled me down the hallway, thinking from behind that I was your wife. And I turned around and you had a look on your face like, oh.
Did I say something inappropriate?
Probably. No, you just made like a whistle or something.
Yes,
and
I know.
I turned around and I was, hey, hello? Can I help? Oh, I thought you were Don.
You guys have the same generally outline.
We're built the same.
And built the same. She's a little older than you, but same like hair and all that kind of stuff. And and remember, I'm 53, so my vision is failing. That's a big part of it.
Well, but thank you.
You are a great dresser. You know that.
But I hate that part of it. I'm terrible with clothes and hair and makeup, and that's my least favorite part of all this.
I always said this, and Sean here next to me knows, as a guy, I have no idea how you women do it. When I know I have to teach, I put on, because you know my reputation at WNP is throw some shorts on. I used to come to work with Crocs. I'm the goofy guy in the backyard. And then when I know I have to put on nice clothes, are you ready for this? I have to put on a button-down shirt, and that stresses me out, as if that's a lot of work. How do you get hair and shoes and makeup? I couldn't even imagine
that. You should
that.
See me on the weekends. I mean, I'm the opposite of all of that.
But it's got to stress out every day. Like, what am I going to wear? What am I going to do?
I'll wear a blouse that I like in person, and I'll see it on TV and go, oh, that didn't work. That's awful. You know, so much of my headspace is taken up on my appearance. I hate that. But it's part of the job, I guess.
I guess, but that's society. Break out. If I were a woman, I'd be one of those braless, makeupless, short-haired women. I know it.
Should I give that a whirl?
I'm just saying. I don't know how you ladies do it. All right, next we have, she's so cute, Stephanie.
Cute.
She's so cute.
Thank you, Stephanie.
She's so cute. But the good questions are coming here. This person said, I was so thrilled to meet Julie in person. She was wonderful, Lisa, and said, I hear you. This goes back to the nightclub thing. I hear you sing. Could you sing me a song? So is there anything you can do now that's not like copywritten that we can get away with? Let's hear
that voice. No, I'm not singing right now.
There's got to be something.
No, not right now.
Just something soft and sultry like, here comes our news director. He's waving to me in the hall. He just walked by.
Does he have a box? Is that a bad thing?
No! You can't even do that. I want to hear the voice.
No, I'm not going to sing right now.
A little duet. Come on. Here comes...
How do I duet when I don't know what the world you're singing?
News director.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry.
Oh, you smacked the bell! Oh, man. And now for the good ones. Here we go. Are you ready? Get that bell ready.
Yeah.
All right. So these are not really related to like personal things. They're just these questions we get in our brown bag. They're bizarre. They get your feeling on things. All right. So... In the mid-90s, popular music went through a big change. Groups like Nirvana and Pearl Jam replaced Whitney Houston and a lot of those top 40 songs. What do you like from the 90s? Here we go. Do you have a taste in music? Like, do you know what I mean? The grunge came in. You were probably... you were like at that prime time when there's Soundgarden and Nirvana.
Definitely.
And there's no more hair metal bands. That was seen as silly. Here comes grunge. Out with Whitney Houston. What were you doing at that time? Were you? You're not a.
My taste has always been really eclectic in music. I like all kinds of music, probably except country, and only because that was kind of jammed down my throat back home.
Your dad's a country guy?
No. But
your
mom?
People. Okay.
I mean, yeah, everybody I'm hanging out with is in the woods, you know, when we're not drinking because we're not 21.
you don't remember the 90s as being...
Of course I remember the 90s, but...
Like, what was in your CD player then?
But what I'm trying to say is...
It was a little bit of everything?
It's a little bit of everything.
Depeche Mode?
I like Depeche Mode.
I can figure her out. How about...
This might be more the 2000s, but we're talking like the Lilith Fair, so...
Oh,
you know,
so
Sarah McLachlan. And
McLachlan.
I love Tori Amos, that kind of thing. But I do like Nirvana. I love The Police. That's not even the 90s.
No, I got you. Yeah, well, I was still holding on. Sarah McLachlan, and she now does the SPCA and the NMR.
And I'm not even sure. I don't really listen to her anymore, but you're asking me about...
Alanis Morissette, maybe?
Who I liked?
Jagged Little Pill?
I liked Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Sprocket is excellent!
I loved Toad the Wet Sprocket.
One of my faves now!
Yeah.
Well, at least the guy who used to sing is still doing his
Glenn
thing.
Glenn something or other, right? Glenn Phillips?
Glenn Phillips. Yeah, I have two of his...
What
things
else?
On my Spotify. I can't say albums anymore.
Who else?
Great. Yeah, all right. We got a good
I'm
feel.
I'm all across the board. Yeah, I still am.
All right. So have you ever said anything on the air just because you knew it would make a friend or family member chuckle at home? Like an inside joke? Did you ever do anything like that? That's a good question.
That is a good question. I don't think so. No.
No. Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't think I did that either. Like the old Carol Burnett pull on the ear or whatever, that, yeah. That, you know, thing. Did you ever say anything that you didn't want to, inappropriate?
Oh, God, have you watched The Four?
Oh, yeah, but you guys are all scripted. I'm the idiot who makes mistakes in the backyard.
Oh, you're saying in a course of a conversation.
I don't know what they're referring to.
See, I don't have to, other than a weather toss, there's not much that I say.
Her whole life is scripted, folks.
It's real scripted.
She just follows what's in front of her.
I'm Julie Sedoni.
There's that joke that some reporter was filling in and they said what was on the teleprompter and it wasn't really them.
I mean, I have tons of examples, but they're not my stories, so I'm not going to tell them.
Okay. Can't give us any of that. All right. So Karen wants to know, you do the medical stuff.
Yes.
But she said based on your promo that you're not the right – no, she didn't say the right person, but it's not your thing. You said you didn't like that type of
– That's true. It's
subject matter.
I've been honest about that. It's not, yeah. It's not my thing. It's not my interest.
All right. But yet you pull it off.
Reporters have to do stories every day that they don't necessarily know about. That's.
Oh, I get it.
You know, we're not here to only talk about what we're interested in. We're here to get the story and to present that as best we can, no matter what it is.
I don't know that feeling, so I can't relate.
Right.
But do you have to put on the nice happy face for the public now? Do you like doing that, or you rather not do that since it's not your interest?
I don't mind doing the medical stuff.
All right.
I'm just not naturally interested in it, and it often takes me a lot of research to even figure out what I should be asking. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
So if you're sent to a house fire, there are a couple things you're going to have to ascertain from that situation, and then present it.
Right.
I have a little bit different. Set of responsibilities. If I get something wrong, I'm really in trouble.
Right.
You know, somebody's
so you...
health, you know, not that they're going to say they listen to me for advice.
No, but yeah, you get the bottom line story, so you got to get it right.
What if I got a word wrong that meant something completely different? I don't want to be responsible for putting someone in a bad spot or putting them in the wrong direction.
And you're right in your promo. You say it's probably better for someone who knows nothing about the subject or has no interest to tell the story because you get it from a base level and you ask the right questions.
And if you really want to know about that topic, I'm not the one you should be listening to anyway.
Yeah, right. It's just
I can introduce it, but then you probably have to do your own research.
I'm going to answer this one for you based on what you said a little while ago. Andrew G. wants to know, what do you do on weekends? Here's what she do, folks. She does nothing. She's boring. She sits at home, no hair, no makeup, probably puffy pants.
Puffy pants?
You know, like those comfy, pumpy ones. Loose.
Okay.
That's what you do when you're comfy. I put on my puffy pants when I'm at home. And, folks, she just sits there and watches TV, and she probably falls asleep for 12, 13 hours a day. And the dishes are in the sink.
Are you done?
And yes. All right. What's the truth? What's the truth?
Most of it has to do with my kids and their schedules. Sports.
Sure.
I shuttle them to sports and games and practices.
Yep. You're
I
that
write
stage,
as
right?
much as I can. And
so you are writing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm writing.
And what's going to happen from that? Like books? Publications? Are we getting something?
I have books. I'm trying to polish, and we'll see if anybody wants to publish them.
So if I type your name on Amazon, there's nothing yet, but it could be in the future.
Hopefully.
And what kind of books would these be?
Right now I have two fiction books going. I have an idea for a nonfiction as well, but it requires time, and I don't have a lot of that.
Yeah, I hear you.
But
well,
anyway,
maybe when the kids get a little older.
Back to the weekend thing, that's basically... I always say that my weekend feels like a work day because pretty much, and Sean and I have talked about this a lot on Sundays, I'm grocery shopping and pre-cooking food and laundry because I can't get to it Monday through Friday. So almost a full day of my weekend is spent getting ready for the week.
I would think you'd have people doing that, but no so.
I wish I had people. Do you know people?
I don't have any people, no.
I'd love to have people.
Two weird questions. What is your favorite lunch meat? Frank wants to know.
Oh, salami.
What? So you have turkey. You
it goes
have
bad.
Ham.
It goes bad so fast.
Salami. It's all
have
salt
you ever opened
and processed
up?
Food.
Okay, you know what? If I'm ordering
salami,
a fresh sub,
Sean,
turkey's delicious. But if you don't catch it on the first day,
salami is currently what my 5-year-old's taking for lunch.
She wants salami.
Because Erin's my girl.
Now, just so I know, salami. It's this round stuff with all the different little spices in there and all different mangled pig parts.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the health reporter, all right? Mangled pig parts are good. for your heart.
What do you like, the spiciness, the shape, the roundness, or, you know, like turkey's too square? What is it?
No, I do like turkey.
All right, but you just, say, all right, I'm looking into
it. Salami, yeah, I don't know. Spicy, yeah, sure. Hey, I answered your question. I didn't give you a...
This one is from a guy named Joe S. Could it be... Who are your... You have to be honest now. Who are your top three favorite male colleagues here at WNEP? Uh-oh, here we go.
My top three favorite male colleagues?
Yep. You can hit the bell.
Well, no. I have a lot of favorite male colleagues, but people aren't going to know most of the photographers.
Okay.
You know?
Is it John Meyer on the list there? Is he gotta
be? John Meyer, of course. He probably knows more about me than most human beings on the planet.
I'm not in the top three. I'm not even in the top 10.
You would be if I saw you more.
Yeah, we don't see each other. So everyone has this impression that, you know, everyone here is friends and we hang out. But I see Julie. She's on the other side of the building. I'm leaving at 11. You're just coming in sometimes.
You ask me about lesson plans as you make your copies. We talk teaching and then...
It's cheesy conversation.
Cheesy conversation.
Maybe this will take us to the next level after this podcast. We're close enough.
I mean, I got to say...
I'll say, how's the old man doing? Still making temperature sensors?
Photographer Mike Cholko.
Mike Cholko.
Well, here's why he gets on that list. Back in 2006, I had the flu. I was really, really sick. I lived by myself.
Okay.
I called off sick 4 or 5 days in a row. Carl, our boss, finally called me and said, are you okay? Do you need something? And I said, yeah, I got to go to the hospital.
Is that right?
But I don't want to call an ambulance.
Get out of here.
And
what
he
was it, the
said,
flu?
It was the flu. It was an actual flu case that year. And he sent Mike Cholko, who comes to my door, picks me up off the bathroom floor.
Picks you up, literally.
Puts me in a news car and drives me to the emergency room until somebody could stay with me until someone else could get there.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. That actually happened.
We can't end like that. You have to reach into this bag
and
pick out one random question.
Okay.
These are submitted by viewers for months of accumulation, so you never know what you're going to get, just so you know.
This question is...
They're usually not too...
It's not a question. It's a statement.
Here we go.
My friend Big Jim puts an S at the end of Walmart. Please tell him he isn't 80 years old yet.
So this is perfect because you are the writer. Why? Tell us grammatically, and we'll end on this, why it's wrong.
To go to the Walmarts? Like you get something at the Ameses and the Sheetses?
You can't put the S on Walmarts, right? But are you allowed once you're reaching a certain age? This is a good topic.
Allowed by whom? What are you going to do when you're 80? You already don't care what people think. You're especially not going to care when you're 80.
So... You have no comment on that, putting the S on Walmart to make it Walmart, even though?
I'm not even sure how to answer a non-question. You stumped me there.
Oh, and that, my friend, ends it with Julie Sidoni. It was a nice talk. I hope you appreciated it, but I'm still thinking you can put an S on Walmart, especially at the age of 80. You're allowed to do anything.
You're the one with the microphone on. Who's going to stop you?
Thanks for coming in.
Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.
Got a hot mic.
Hot mic.
Hot mic here.